Welcome to the Thrive Church Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed and encouraged by this message today. Thanks for tuning in.
Good morning, everyone. Just welcome to church. It's amazing that everyone came here today, and we've got an overflow room out the back. I'm not sure if you mentioned that, but wow, welcome to everyone who's in the building. Hey, so we're going to just transition to a video right now. Are you guys just ready down the back for that? We good to go? These guys, this is Stephen and Susie Miller from Manukau New Life. They say hello to you. Just sit back. This is about 4 minutes, and it's going to be awesome. They're just sharing about what's happening.
Hey, Thrive Church. Hey, Pastor Glenn and Pastor Debbie and all of the guys there, the crew there in Rangiora. Love you guys. And Pastor Glenn asked if we would just share a little bit about what life has been like up here in Auckland over the last 12 weeks we've been in lockdown. And what we've learned, some of the things that we've learned along that journey. So, I think we've learned that God is good, that God is faithful, and that church doesn't always have to look like what we thought it had to look like. We've just been forced into doing things a different way, and you start to realize, hold on, we can stay on mission, we can shine the light of Jesus out to our community. We can worship God, we can praise Him in different ways than we really thought we could before. And so, I wonder if I was going to get Susie just to share a story of one of those instances to help you understand that.
Yeah, hey guys, it's been awesome to see God's work in our community, and there's been a lot of giving, and then distributing of things. It's been fantastic. People realizing there's a need and then doing their best to meet it. So about 4 weeks ago, the learning support coordinator for my school got a hold of me, and she said, "This is unacceptable. There's a situation where a family has moved just before lockdown and they had no furniture. So no fridge, no beds, no chairs, nothing. They'd been sitting in a house with just having to buy food every single day for their dinners and stuff. And we were just like, this can't go on for however lockdown is going to last. So I said, hey, okay, leave that with me. So I got on the phone to our administrator, who also is with the local board, Glenn, and he was just like, no, we can't let that happen. So he got all of these appliances sorted out, a fridge, even a freezer, couch, some beds for the kids and the mum, and he got it there with trucks and stuff that day. And
that was from connections with other people in the community.
Amazing. It was incredible, and for the school to see that kind of witness and that kind of action, set in motion, they were just like, wow, this is so cool. And the family were, the mum was in tears just receiving all of that. So, it was so cool.
Yeah, so it's been amazing. We've seen a number of stories like that where God has really moved and helped us to be part of a solution for families that are in real need and situations like that. And it's just been a joy to do that and to see, even though we're in lockdown, even though we are in this funny state, we can still be the church. We can still love people. We can still help people. We can still, testify about the love of God. Our young people made a video clip to a song that they posted on Instagram of all of them worshiping and singing from their homes. And it was really cool. It was really good. So we just discovered there's lots and lots of ways to actually reach out and to be light and to be salt in a time like this. So, thanks for hearing our testimony today. And thanks for continuing to pray for us up here in Auckland.
Thank you.
And whatever happens going forward in our nation, let's keep a faith attitude. Let's be filled with the peace of the Lord. And let's continue just to walk forward led by His Spirit.
Yeah, we're praying for you guys too.
Yeah, amen.
We love you, and you're going to thrive. Keep on thriving.
That's the one. Thrive for Jesus. Awesome. All right, take care. Bless you all. Have a wonderful service.
Isn't that awesome? Just a wonderful couple up there in Manukau New Life, and they have actually done it pretty tough for the last 3 months now, and just good for us to remember that as we're wrestling through, you know, some areas and challenges for us in our context. There's people in Auckland that have just really done a difficult journey. So, and these guys are a part of our New Life Church family as well. Be good to point out they sit on the executive team in our movement with us, and Stephen, he's just got a real gift of wisdom on his life. So it's just amazing to have team, isn't it, at this time? Like, don't get isolated. I just thought it'd be great to pray for this church right now. Jesus, we just pray for Auckland, the Auckland church, God. Lord, for Manukau New Life, God, we just pray your blessing and your favor over Stephen, over Susie as they lead this church, God. We thank you for that missional edge that they have, and we thank you for opportunities for them to shine your light in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, Daz also is ministering this weekend in New Zealand. And he's up in Whakatane, and he saw 36 young people come to the Lord yesterday. So he wanted to share that. So that's really exciting. He said, look, three of them actually attempted suicide last week, and they came into an encounter with Jesus Christ. So I don't know anything else other than that context, but apparently it's on his social media, that story. So check it out if you want some more information. But he's up there just doing incredible work, bringing the salt and the light, you know, in a time, like this is a time for the church not to, you know, to be the church. We need to keep being the church of Jesus Christ. And then at the same time, today, I just want to acknowledge that in our nation, a lot has even changed in the last 2 weeks in regards to COVID. You know, we've moved past this goal of elimination, and, you know, you could see the rising case numbers. And COVID looks like it's going to come through this nation. But fear not. Fear not. This is an hour that the church needs to stick together. We need to be plugged into the Word of God, and we need to come together and we need to worship Him. We want to continue to be a church where anybody can come to. We also want to take the responsibility that we need to as leaders and look after you. We want to look after our community. We want to do everything that we can do to be the church and be responsible in this time. You know, you've probably realized the traffic light system is coming. The Prime Minister has said that it's simple. It's really just not going to be that simple for us at all. Another thing I just want to say today is I don't agree with mandates. And I really feel for those who are losing their jobs at this time for the stand that they are making. And then Jesus said that we would be known for our love for one another. So somehow we need to stay united as the body of Christ in this season. Can I get an amen? Yeah, come on. And you're like, but that can be tricky because what if one of my neighbors is anti-vax? And the other neighbor on my left, and then the neighbor on my right may be immunocompromised. How do I figure that out? Or may have a completely different opinion altogether. I want to give you just four thoughts here on what loving our neighbors looks like in this season and in this time. Number one, don't build a wall. Number two, don't isolate yourself. Number three, do what you can to be empathetic to one another's needs and conviction. And number four, pray. Come on. That's all I really have to say on that today. But you can just, if you've got your Bible here, you can open your Bible to Matthew chapter 14. As you're doing that, I also just want to really welcome any guests or visitors that are with us today. It's just wonderful to have you here in church. Let's just pray for the word. Jesus, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we just thank you for your body broken for us, God, that we could actually have nourishment from your word today, God. Lord, speak to our spirit, speak to our soul. We thank you, Father, as we wait on you today, that you will renew our strength in Jesus' name. Okay, so Matthew 14's got a little bit going on, and this is going to jump in right after Jesus has actually fed 5,000, and then he tells his disciples to get into a boat and to go ahead of him. And then he goes up the mountain to pray. You know, that's one of those things that Jesus did regularly. We see him doing. He goes off to see and look and see what the Father's doing. But he sends his boys off in a boat. And it says in verse 24 here that while they're out in the boat together, that it says in the NIV that they were taking a beating from the waves because the wind was against it. And all night they'd been struggling against the sea and they were trying to get to the other side. And then in verse 25 it says, as the night was ending, Jesus came to them, get this, walking on the sea. That's crazy, isn't it? And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified and they said, it's a ghost, and cried out in fear. You know, Jesus is, he's hard to recognize when it's dark sometimes. You know, sometimes when you're in a different space, in a different place, and you just can't see properly, it's like sometimes it's hard to recognize Jesus. And then verse 27, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, have courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Come on, do not be afraid. Turn to your neighbor, just say, do not be afraid. And then Peter, he's on the boat. He's like, give me an opportunity to do something crazy. He says, Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. See, this is crazy. Because the settings aren't right for someone to step out of a boat and walk on water. It's dark, it's windy, it's wavy, and it's also water. Yeah. We can't forget that, which is odd to walk on. But, you know, regardless of the surrounding conditions, Jesus just might do something or ask us to do something that we've never done before. You know? Something out of the box, something to shine his light, something that calls you out on faith. And then Peter, he's out on the water now. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took a hold of him. I want you to turn to your neighbor again and just say, he's got you. He's got you. This is up on the screen now. This is Pastor Ann Morrow. That's Pastor Ann Morrow here on your right, and that is Pastor Anita White, Adam White's wife in Kapiti. And they, Adam and Anita, lead the New Life Church movement. But Ann Morrow and her husband, Peter Morrow, they founded the New Life Church movement, the church that you're a part of now is a part of the New Life Church movement. And sadly, Peter passed away many years ago now, but Ann is still, like, she is a powerhouse. She is a wonderful woman of God. She's praying for us. She's praying for our nation. She is an incredible lady. And a couple of weeks ago, Anne wrote to the exec team, and she just wanted to thank the team for prayers and support for what she was going through. And she finished her letter with this. She said this: I watch with intense interest the days and times we are walking in. Thankfully, the battle is the Lord's. Come on. And then she signed off her letter. And, you know, we all sign off a letter in a certain way. And I don't know how, you know, you sign off your letters, yours faithfully. Oh, that's nice. In Christ, kind regards. A little bit of a default for me there. Much araha, aruha. Yep, got it. Smiley face emoji. There's another way. Grumpy face emoji. Don't do that. But Anne signed it off in a way that I haven't ever seen a letter signed off before. And she said this: in his grip and in his love, Anne. In his grip and in his love. And today, I just want to remind you, church, that you are in his grip. That Jesus has got a hold of your life. I love this in James 1, verse 17. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. Your God does not change. Our God does not change. He does not shift. He doesn't shift alert levels around. He doesn't shift traffic light systems around. He doesn't change his policies. The God of the Bible, the giver of good gifts, changes not. So I want to encourage you in this hour not to place your trust and your hope and your faith in the predictability of life, but in the certainty of God and his certainty of his grip and his hand over your life, over your family, over your finances, over this nation. We are in his grip. We are in his hands. And today, if you feel like, you know, you're feeling like you've stepped out in faith, I mean, we've all felt like that coming into this year. It's all one big faith journey, and we can feel like we're sinking in this season. I want to say that you can trust in the ever-present, unchanging hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, you're in his grip. You are in his hands. I've got two chapters to my word today, and I hope this will be an encouragement to you. My first chapter is that we are in his grip. We're being held by the Father. You know, a pickpocket, they'll take what they want by using the power of distraction. Oh, look, a pink elephant. Grab. See, you all look for the pink elephant. I'm a terrible pink elephant and pickpocket. You know, but one of the techniques a pickpocket will use is that they will force you to trip and then appear to catch you, but in the process be stealing your wallet. Have you ever seen that? You have the power of distraction. And what a pickpocket knows is that when we're off balance, we're vulnerable. We're vulnerable when we're off balance. You know, when Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water, wasn't he? But it was when he started looking at the chaos of his surroundings and going, this is not possible, I can't be walking here, he became vulnerable. He lost his faith balance and he began to sink. I want to encourage you in this season to not allow the pickpocketer, the thief, the deceiver, our enemy, to unbalance our faith with fear. Because there's a lot of fear going on around us in this world, and he wants to take his church out by worst case scenarios. He wants you to start getting all focused in on the things that could go wrong and the vulnerability that you're in because of, you know, X, Y, Z in this season. But I want to remind you today, like we sang today, that our God is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Come on. If fear has got you off balance today, remember that you are in his grip. I love this quote from Nelson Mandela. Courage isn't the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers his fear. Come on. So I think, you know, when Peter stepped out in faith, he was aware of his surroundings, but something, you know, just got on him in faith and said, I'm going. I'm going to go and defy the odds. You know, there's so many fears, though, that we can be overwhelmed by in this season. You know, you could take your pick. You could, I mean, just getting real basic, you just could be afraid of getting it wrong. Well, what if I get it wrong? You could be afraid of being deceived, afraid of the unknown, the fear of death, the fear of shame, the fear of failure, the fear of sickness, the fear of missing out. But do you know what my Bible has in it? It has over 365 fear nots in the Bible. Come on. You know, his love and his word covers every fear. His love actually casts out fear. This is one fear not for every single day of the year, for heaps left over for leap years and other celebrations. Come on, fear not, church. Fear not. It says this in 1 Timothy 2:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. He's not given you a spirit of fear. The premise here, though, is that fear is a spirit. That the spirit of fear can actually get a hold of us, work its way into our lives, we can end up feeling powerless, unloved, and our mind is like scrambled eggs. Come on. When we're stuck like that, it's because we're actually being consumed or influenced by a spirit of fear. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says this, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you, there it is, with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 43, 1, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you or called you by name. You are mine, or child, you are mine. Come on, you're his property. Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. I think your staff and your rod comfort me. You know, the thing, I heard this yesterday, the thing is that fear is just a shadow here because there is so much light. Come on. Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 34, 4, I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all of my fears. Come on, there's someone that's going to get free today. There's someone here that is going to get free from fear today. I love this scripture as well, 1 John 4:18. It's the end of this verse. It says, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. And I want to tell you that his perfect love, the first part of that verse, casts out all fear. Come on, church. Fearless. Come on, and if you're old enough, you could probably remember a song. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not. For I am with you, fear not. For I am with you, says the Lord. Ord. Oh, come on, Jesus. Come on. Actually, let's just have a ministry moment right now. Jesus, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you right now. And I just, if you're struggling with fear right now in this moment, and when you think back of last week and you've spent so much energy processing fear or pushing through fear, I just want you to just kind of like just put that in your hands right now. Just imagine it, that you are giving that to Jesus right now. Just let him take that fear. If you're struggling with a spirit of fear right now, we take authority in the name of Jesus over every spirit of fear in this place. We bind it in the name of Jesus and we break its power. We thank you that you have not given us a spirit of fear. So in the name of Jesus, we say no to fear. We say no to fear, for the influence of fear in our dreams and our imaginations, in what we're speaking about, God, and what we're listening to, God. We just break the voice of fear right now in Jesus' name, and we receive your perfect love. Now, just keep your hands out, because just Holy Spirit, right now, we just thank you for gifts being given in this place, the gift of your perfect love, just washing over every mind, every heart, every family in this place today. We receive your perfect love. We want to be just overwhelmed by your love and not fear in this season. Just overwhelm us with a fresh touch of your presence and your love. We just thank you that the cross of Jesus Christ is a place of exchange. It's beauty for ashes, and we just give you whatever is just, we want to, you know, we're struggling with God. We just give that to you, and we receive that crown of beauty. We receive from you life. We receive life in Jesus' name. We receive hope in Jesus' name. We take our faith today in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that you have not abandoned us or left us as orphans in this season, God, but you are with us. Come on, in Jesus. Let's just give the Lord a clap of praise. We praise you. We praise you, God. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you, Jesus. All right. Chapter 2. This chapter is called Fresh Wind. We've been singing this incredible song. And I want to read you some of the lyrics here. It says, as we repent, turn from sin, revival embers smoldering. Breath of God, fan us into flame. So we, the church who bear your light, lamp of flame, city bright, King and kingdom come is what we pray. We need a fresh wind, the fragrance of heaven. Pour your spirit out, pour your spirit out. What a beautiful song. I am wrecked saying that. That's what we need. Revival embers, smoldering breath of heaven. You know, when you breathe on some embers, you're trying to light a fire and you get that breath and suddenly there's fire. We're believing that in this season for our nation, that the breath of God would actually blow on the embers of the church and bring fire. We want the breath of God. We're hungry for revival. We want to see his presence come and be honored and do what only he can do in the hearts of our nation, in the hearts of the poor, the rich, the lost, the lonely, the you know, the unlovely, the lovely, every sphere of society. Like, that's where the presence of God belongs. You know, last week during conference, I hear that, amen. Ian Wright was painting a picture of what happened when he went to Brownsville, Pensacola in the mid-90s. And there was an outpouring of God there. There was a revival taking place there that happened in the for about 4 years. And this fresh wind blew in. And he was telling stories of how people would line up at 2 a.m. in the morning. And the queue was beyond how far he could see. There was just people coming in to church. Anyone you could imagine, the unsaved. There were Playboy bunnies that were doing a photo shoot on the beach, and it started raining, and they said to the taxi driver, where should we go? He said, go to church. So they went to church and they got saved. There were truckers, lawyers, everyone wanted in. When the altar call was given, people would rush the altar. They would climb off the balcony and just lie on the floor weeping for hours in his presence. There was something of the move of God that was happening. It wasn't hype. It wasn't people just saying, bless me. It wasn't just emotionalism. It was actually the power of God touching people's lives and drawing people to himself. You know, revival happens when dead things, when discouraged things, when deflated things, when disillusioned things, people come back to life. Come on, that's what revival is, to be revived. It's to be revived. And so revival to me, it speaks of the breath of heaven that God blew when he breathed into Adam. He revived him and he just became normal. And imagine how normal we'd be if we just had the breath of heaven reviving us constantly and in a new place. And so we just want this greater breath coming in. And we just want to allow that breath to come into Thrive Church, into families, into homes, into our lives. You may have heard of Daniel Kalender. He was actually a teenager in the mid-90s, and he went to Brownsville, and he was profoundly impacted, and he stayed on at their Bible school after that. And then he went on to serve under evangelist Reinhard Bonnke, and I don't know if you've heard of that guy, but they did lead until he passed away, Christ for All Nations, and they currently have 81 million documented salvations. Christ for All Nations, 81 million, and they spend more on their follow-up than they do on their crusades. So that is discipled and plugged into churches. So Daniel Kalender, see, I just want to paint you this picture that revival isn't just this kind of great big mess, but actually ministries and calls are birthed in revival. Actually, we were in a Starbucks cafe on a side note, and we got talking with this couple, and he ended up being Dolly Parton's bass player. And if you're old enough, you know who Dolly Parton is. But anyway, if you're young, you don't. Google her in her later years. And anyway, he had been at the Brownsville Revival and they were there celebrating, you know, this outpouring again. And, you know, he was saying, my life changed. I discovered my gift and my call in this revival. And New Zealand needs this kind of Holy Spirit outpouring. We want to see signs, wonders, and miracles. It's what Jesus said is normal Christian life. And so it sounds really exciting, but it's also meant to be really normal. It's meant to be a part of what we do. And so we just say yes to that. There's this guy, David Adney. Adney? Yeah, that's how you say it, David Adney. And he wrote about the persecuted church in China in an interview with Christianity Today back in 1982. It was a long, long time ago. And he's talking about the Chinese Revolution and the persecution that happened to the church in that time. And he said, in one area where there were 4,000 Christians before the revolution, the number has now increased to 90,000. With 1,000 different meeting places. Christians in that region give 3 reasons for the rapid increase of the gospel and of people coming to Christ. Number 3, we'll count down, is the influence of Christian radio broadcast from outside China. It's interesting, eh? Just media coming in. Number 2, the power of God to heal the sick. Come on, people were seeing that and experiencing only what he could do. Number 1, the faithful witness of Christians in the midst of suffering. Whoa, come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. The faithful witness of Christians in the midst of suffering. 86,000 new converts to Jesus Christ. This is a picture of a church in revival, but in the middle of persecution. As this church is driven into hiding underground, the church came into revival. As the church was under pressure by the government, you know, it came into revival. See, revival doesn't always look the same, but the goal is that dead things come to life. And what if, this is my what if in this hour, in the drama of this world, that God is asking us to prepare for a personal and corporate revival move right throughout our nation. What if that became our focus in this hour when all hell's going on in the world? You know, Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail. You know, it's the only thing that Jesus said that he would be building. His church. His church. And these words that Jesus said about the church haven't changed in 2,000 years. And COVID isn't going to change it. And I want to encourage you today to stay close to what Jesus is most invested in.
Thanks again for tuning in to the Thrive Church Weekly Podcast. Stay up to date with everything that is happening by following us on social media